Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda.
I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, 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 saints of the Most High, glory. Praise y'all. Let me adjust my chair here. I don't know. This thing's crazy. Praise y'all. I don't know what written. This thing really wants to. It'll stay on the ground then. All right. Praise y'all. Got a little difficulty here with this one chair here. I don't like sitting on the ground. There we go. I think it's holding now. Oh, praise y'all. Praise y'all. Praise y'all. Glad all is well with the righteous. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Pray all is well. All is having a good week. As everyone has been edified again by the word that was taught and preached yesterday. Very good word about our Elohim and understanding his greatness and his magnificence and his majesty and his glory and his honor. We serve an awesome YAH. Yes, we do. And we ought to be thankful that we do. We ought to be very gracious. An attitude of gratitude to the one that has called you into his family to be called of the family of YAH. Many of us have come out of what they call in the world so-called family, but was not a family. But now you're in true family. You got mothers, you got fathers, you got brothers, you got sisters. It's a beautiful thing to be able to have the honor, have the grace to be a partaker of his goodness, a partaker of his holiness, a partaker of his power, to be joint heirs with him. It's a wonderful thing, especially in this time and this hour, when the God of this world is raging, is really fighting the image of YAH in any form, shape, matter, whatever he can supplant, whatever he can He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. Yeah, we are quickly approaching the Passover. We are getting ourselves ready, preparing our hearts, preparing our minds. Yeah, to always be mindful of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That while we was, many of us were yet in our sins, He was dying for us. He is dying for the children that Yah had given Him, the Hebrews. It's a beautiful thing to be called a Hebrew, and that is a family. That is a family. We are of the family of Hebrews. We are not one that is of great force outwardly. You know, it's not so much in dress, so much not much in speech, but it is in great weight in spirit. You know, we, those that among us that do with miracles, the word says, have we done any of these miracles? You know, cast out devils, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, whatever it may be. Did we do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It asks that question, and that is a very, very, very good question. Let us know who are the children of Yah and the children of the wicked one. The ones that are from above and the ones that are beneath, as you heard yesterday. As Yeshua said, I am from above, but you are from beneath. And he is speaking right. We are the saints of the Most High Yah, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Yeah, the things of this world should be under our feet. We are a victorious people. We are conquerors. We are warriors. And that's not of our own volition, of our own doings, but again, of the one who loved us, gave himself for us, put himself on the tree for us, tasted death for every man for us, so that we just might, just peradventure, get a taste of life. We've got a great market out there in the world trying to sell life in its various forms, which we know on this side of the impalement, that is death. The saints of the Most High, as we depart this dead season, I encourage you to keep your hands on the plow and hold on. We have witnessed, we have heard, we have saw, many have looked back, took their hands off that plow, no longer plowing, no longer part of the vine. Like I said, as they detach themselves, how can they bear fruit? How can they really bear fruit apart from the one? And we heard about the one. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to our King, our husband, our Redeemer, our Savior, our mighty Elohim, our Prince of Peace, our first and our last. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's if you stay in the race. That is if you stay in the fight. Fight a good fight. Stay in this race, but do it with patience, saints of the Most High God. Here we are again. This is Teacher Shane, Brother Shane, servant of the Most High, I disciple of the King, here again on this edition of Blog Talk, on this first day, as it closes out, as the sun wanes, waxes, whatever. Light goes dimmer and we quickly approach evening. We have been in a study for quite a while in the book of Hebrews. And I think it's been a very, very, very good study. We've still not exhausted it. Here we are this far, I don't know, beyond a year now. We are in chapter 6. Last time we talked, we talked about maturity and how the Holy Spirit ministered to us on that wise. And again, we will pick up again where we left off as we continue on our study in the book, the epistle written to the Hebrews. Now, if you are Hebrew, this is written to you. We have been immersed much in the book of Hebrews, book to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, has been in much relation and much forwarding and much recollecting of the order of Melchizedek. And we've been really, really saturating and really diving and expounding on what this order is, who this Melchizedek was. And we learn in this whole onset of nature, this pattern, this order through the one, Yeshua HaMashiach. It's a beautiful correlation. It's a beautiful reflection that what he is trying to instill in us, the image that he is trying to build in us, the image that he's trying to form us to be. The world is out there forming their images. And they're clinging to their images, their graven images. And while they do all their temporal partying, reveling, envying, backbiting, whatever they may do, we hear the Hebrews of the Most High Yah, we are sowing to the Spirit. We are building up, you know, the real man that is real, the one that is in touch with the Most High Yah. We are discussing the real life. We have left the days of death. And now as the days are before us, we walk in this road of life. And the life which I am talking about, that we now live in the flesh, we live in the life of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we should be. You know, that is our pattern. That is our forerunner. That is our first fruits. That is the power in us to get us home. That is the image that is going to bring us into the heavenly. That is the image that is above. We don't want no images of that which is beneath, because many of us have tasted the beneath world, and we don't want no more of the morsels and the dainties of the beneath world. That world now should be under your feet. It should be beneath you and behind you. And we thank Yah for that. If Yah permit. Again, I'm going to start at Hebrews chapter 6. Going to read quickly, a quick rehash. Just reading the verses here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yah. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, these are foundational, and I really stress that word, foundation. As we learned a little bit, and any of us who've had any experience in building anything of a dwelling or any such like, know that how important the structure of the foundation must be before the rest of the structure goes up. And that is what, you know, is telling us. Now that you know you have this foundation of repentance, foundation from dead works, foundation of faith toward Yah, foundation of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, these things we learn, you know, as babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. These things are there to bring us to maturity. These are foundational teachings to lead us and guide us into greater understanding. To he that hath shall more to be given, and he that hath not shall more be taken, as Yeshua said. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Yah. And it says, and this will we do, the Hebrews, the children of Yah, if Yah permit. What? Going on to maturity, on to perfection, on to completeness. As he is complete, he wants us to be complete as he is. That is his desire. That is the joy in his heart for us to be like him. That is beautiful. You know, as I was saying that, you know, again, what Paul said rehearsing is that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, in this walk, we do suffer a lot, saints. We suffer one another. As you heard yesterday, you know, as you know, the Most High has suffered us. And Yeshua has suffered us. I mean, you know, his suffering put him to the intent and put him upon a tree. That's how much he suffered us. But that suffering is not, you know, as the world portrays. This suffering, you know, in this walk is there to build us up. It's there to perfect us. It's there to mold us. If peradventure you would see it that way. As many, you know, in this walk still think that Yah is a hard taskmaster, that he's putting on them more things than they can bear when he is not. When he said he is not a liar, he cannot lie. He will not put anything on you more than you are able to bear. And we think we bear a lot of things when in essence, the strength of our bearing, it all lies in Yeshua HaMashiach. If we look and reflect on how he bore us upon himself, what drove him to come down here, to put himself in the same flesh as we are, and to be tempted in all points, just so that he could show his love? I mean, when are we really, really just going to just submit and fall down in humility and just receive at any time the love of Yah, which is dispensing to us? We have been out there in that world, and we've been hurt. We've been bruised. We've been cut. And we try to bring this attitude over in this walk, thinking that Yah is going to do something, that the brother or sister is going to do something. When it's not like that. Death mentality. Let the blood of Yeshua wash your minds and wash your hearts. Why do we walk around in such suspicion of one another? Why do we walk around in somehow selfishness? In somehow holding men's personages in admiration for our own self-gain? And we think, this is life? Are we fed up with death itself? as Yeshua HaMashiach was fed up with death. Tasted death for every one of us? Really think about it. Really sit back and ponder on these things. If it wasn't for him, we would not be breathing. If it wasn't for him, we would not be eating. If it wasn't for him, we could not lay our head down. If it wasn't for him, we could not hear the word. And we could not see the word. He summed it all up as the bread of life, the truth, the way, and the life. That's the fullness of it all. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. You've been this in the beginning? Stay unto the end. He's able and just to get you to the end. But I know surely offenses will come. But woe again unto whom the offense cometh. And then when people overstruck with offenses, they let offense take over their whole being. Next thing you know, offense is speaking for them like some lawyer, like some defendant. And what are they really, really protecting? What is the real hurt at? Where is really the root of the alt? When they think it's with people, and it is not, but it's with the Most High Yah. But the offense will cover the eyes. The offense will cover the ears. Blind guides leading the blind. No wonder the ditch is full of them. But let us go on into perfection, maturity, completeness. And this will we do if Yah permit. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once, listen at this word, enlightened. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. Notice that. The heavenly gift, something that was given. But it's something about a gift. It is not a gift until it is, you know, a gift has got to be given and it has to be received before it is actually a gift. It alone, abiding by itself, if you don't partake of it, if you don't have received of the heavenly gift. But it is talking about an impossibility here. This is profound. Talking to us Hebrews. Being in this walk, we can be truth seekers. Don't stay at the way of truth seeking. Let's get into the place of way seeking, and then once we get a full immersion of the way seeking, let's get into life seeking, truth, way, and life. Let's take the whole gift. Let's partake of the whole package, because the truth is going to enlighten our eyes to the way. And what is the way? What is the map? What is the road? Where is it going? It's going to life. Hallelujah. But it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. I got this word highlighted. And have tasted of the heavenly gift. Just taste it. And that means we had a full meal of it, but we got a little taste of a gift. And many of us, by the Spirit and by the understanding of the Holy One that is in us, knows about that gift. And it says, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to read down to verse 8, you know, for us to really get our minds immersed in this, to really get this thing flowing. Hebrews 6 and 5, and have tasted again the good word of Yah and the powers. Tasted of what? The powers of the what world to come. What? You know, what am I experiencing now in this walk by the powers of Yah? That I'm just getting a little entrance of what is in the world to come. Yes. Yes. Because right now, these bodies in the corruptible, the state they are, you know, the Most High, He loves us enough to give us a measure. A measure. He knows our measure. He knows, you know, the vessel that He has made. He knows how much to pour into it. But, you know, it's an amazing thing is that He knows how much to pour into it as He pours into us. Are we pouring out what we have received of Him? As we learned a couple of Sabbaths ago in the realm of discipleship. But we, talking to the Hebrews, tasted the good word of Yah and the powers of the world to come. It's talking about a certain people that have entered in and have witnessed and fellowshipped all this and been made partakers and have tasted. It says in verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. It says, it is impossible. What? To renew them again unto repentance. It's an amazing thing. It is a gradual thing. You know, it first starts with backsliding. Backsliding, when you see people starting, you know, to separate themselves. And their conversation is not of their former conversations. There's no more joy, no more peace, no more long-suffering, no more forbearing. All of a sudden, you know, they become strangers. And they start backsliding. And if they keep continually backsliding, notice that word backsliding. What are they sliding back into? Their old man, their old nature, their old state. They're either a pig or a dog. They're sliding back into the world. And once they slide back to a point, there's a point of no return when they fall away. Fall away. I mean, for you to fall, you mean you must have been at some kind of place of height before you can fall. If you're on level ground and fall, that is not much of a fall. But if you know you've been lifted up, nobody, you know, those people that have been 5, 10, 15 years, you know, they have, you know, gotten up the mountain quite a bit. And they might be midway, almost, you know, a third up the mountain, midway up the mountain. And just think how great that fall is from that point. Talking about an impossibility for those, these people that have entered in and decide to exit. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Renewing, renew again. Renew again when this was a once thing. How many times did Yeshua, or how many times was Yeshua upon the tree? Once. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing, what do they do in this manner? Seeing they crucify to themselves. What? You hear that? They crucify to themselves. That crucifying only happened once for all. But now here's a crucifixion that is they doing it to themselves. Shall he be impaled a second time? Look what happened to Moses. The second time he was told to speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck it. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of Yah afresh. I mean, this afresh means it's like this is to them starting all over again. This is the first time. And because they crucify to themselves the Son of Yah afresh, that word afresh, I'm like, what? What do? They put him to an open shame. But the word tells us that when he was upon that tree, he put them to an open shame. Triumphing over them in it. For they did it first that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. It is also he that ascended above all. And to do this afresh, do this within their own minds and their own hearts, to have the impalement within themselves when it already has taken place, to bring this afresh again. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto renew. That word renew, renew, renew. Renew, renew, renew. Them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves. They do this to themselves, the Son of Yah afresh. And because of this action, because all of the gloaters and all of the onlookers and all of the backbiters and all the gainsayers are looking upon these people, and they want to go back into the wallowing in the mire, walk back to like the dog eating its own vomit, and then want to come back and, oh, wash me again. When you have totally fallen away, you've backslidden. There was a time during that backsliding experience that you could be redeemed back. But once you fall away, it is impossible. That's why this thing is so straight, so narrow, but so beautiful. You want life. You want love. You want liberty. Stay in him. Walk behind him. Let the Spirit do the leading, the guiding, the teaching. And put the Holy One to an open shame by their actions. When all the one, well, he was running, he was holy, and he was doing this, and he was doing that, but he went back, blah, 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 and now he doesn't want to go back. I mean, what kind of open shame is that amongst the heathen? Verse 7 says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and it brings forth herbs for them by whom it is dressed, and if those who have sowed herbs, they will reap herbs. And because they planted and it was watered, then Yah gave the increase. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it, and it's talking about us, about the water of the Spirit, and it bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. The one who is a good husbandman, the one who is planting good things, the one who is has good fruit, receiveth blessing from Yah. But that which beareth thorns and briars. Why? Because those that were once enlightened, those that have fallen away, now they're bearing thorns and briars. It is rejected. Rejected. The same crown that was planted and put upon the Messiah's head as a crown was planted thorns and briars. They put it on his head and mock him. He's your king. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh, and is nigh unto cursing. And it says, and whose end is to be burned? But those who are us, I'm not speaking of gloom and doom, but I'm speaking you saints of hope, of a mighty hope. You know, as the family of Yah, the biggest thing that we should be sowing among ourselves is love. You know, Yah is love. That thing is so foreign to us. As many of us are still liking love to what and how the image we learned from the world. When the Word is trying to enlighten us, trying to bring us to a greater understanding of who love was. We learned yesterday that love took on flesh. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And you see what the world, he came to his own, love came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, you Hebrews, you need to receive him. Many of us are still staunch, stiff-necked, stout-hearted. We have some kind of disconnect of giving and receiving love. Won't you just diminish yourself for once and for all and receive the love of Yah? If it comes in correction, receive it as the love of Yah. If it comes as rebuke, receive it as the love of Yah. As many have already, you know, sealed their testimony with their own words. And he comes to us, and we receive him not, but we rather plant thorns and briars. You know, thorns and briars, Them things are prickly. Them things hurt. They scratch. There's a lot of discomforting thoughts about a thorn and a briar. When you see a thorn and a briar, it has no fruit upon it. It looks like, it'll be the embodiment of a curse. But you who are enlightened, and how do we get enlightened? And, there is a beautiful word in there, light, 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 light. And we need to receive light. Believe it or not, saints, the outside, of the body of Christ, it's darkness. It's darkness. And it's getting more grossly dark. But this to be enlightened, to receive the light in. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." What does giveth light? The entrance of thy words. So if words are coming to you in rebuke, reproof, admonishing, exhorting, whatever it may be, receive it. This, on this side of the impalement, as you are a purchased possession of Yah, that you put away all suspicion, that you put away that everyone is out to get you, everyone is talking about you, everyone does not like you, all that crap, all that superfluity of naughtiness that seems to be brought over from the former conversation, that stuff needs to be burned. Especially before this Passover. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And also it giveth understanding unto the simple. Early on in the same chapter of Psalm 119 and 105, it says, "Thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Why has it got to be a lamp unto my feet? And then it says, "And a light unto my path." Why do I need a light? Why do I need a light? Why do I need a lamp for my feet? Why do I need a light to light the path? Well, it's telling you something, Hebrew, child of Yah. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark, and you need the light to guide you. Again, saints of the Most High, I still with this word enlightened. My mind is, as I am picking up the word here, the type word here, and called the Bible. I just opened it up to Matthew 25, talking about this light. Talking about this light. Saints, we are the children of the day. We are children of the light. We don't walk in darkness. The word being a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, it is telling us, giving us directions. It is showing us a way to get home. Because, as I've been in this, over 20 years myself, ministering over 20 years myself, I'm still, dealing with dark places in my being. Dark areas, in me, in my mind, in my soul. That, if I really want them to be dealt with, if I really want light to enter into those areas, I've got to let the word do what it set forth to do. It's got to accomplish what it set forth to do. It might be at sometimes sharp and cutting and hurting, but if my mind is made right, if my mind is in a stance, if my mind is in a ready mode to receive the word, knowing that Yah loves me, that I'm here being molded, that I am here being discipled, that I am here being instructed, that I am here being guided, and he's leading, and he's nurturing, and he's maturing me. And if it is a time of permission, take it. Take it. When it's time that he wants you to grow, he wants you to stand up on your own two feet, wants you to walk, walk. He is a good Yah. He knows what we have need of. We don't. We don't. But in Matthew 25, says verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Notice we're still here in Hebrews 6, talking about those that were once enlightened, and I'm making a correlation of those that are enlightened, that those that have tasted of the heavenly gift, and many of you are now have tasted of the heavenly gift, are now partakers of the Holy Spirit. But look at, listen at this parable upon all that now we have fellowshiped with. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps. Notice that. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I'm thinking, you know, a lamp with no oil, how's it going to give light? Going ahead. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I love that. But the wise took oil in their vessels. You know you're a vessel of Yah. You know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you gonna be the ones taking oil in your vessel with their lamps? And it said, while the bridegroom tarried, said they all slumbered and slept, the wise and the foolish. And at midnight, notice that word there, midnight, on all that we have talked here and all that we have discussed here, saints of the Most High, Yah, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, hey, hey, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We didn't have no oil in our vessels, and we had no oil in our lamps, and there's no light at all. But it says, but the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy yourselves. And it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And is it afterward, after the door was shut, came also the other virgins, the foolish, saying, Master, Master, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I don't know you. I know you not. Because of no oil. Because of no light. All of them were virgins. But there was a determining factor there, huh? Verse 13 says, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And it says, again, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers. That word partakers. Look, let's look at that word partakers. It's a Greek word defined. It's got a number. I think this is a Thayer definition, which is a Strong's number here. 3353. Medicals. This partakers means sharing in. Again, partaking. A partner. And it says those and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now I got to, when I was meditating on that earlier this week and throughout the week, in one word, you know, this partaker being sharing in, partaking, a partner, talking about, you know, having, you know, this sharing experience, you know, this heritage with the Holy Spirit. The word earnest come in my mind. The word earnest, this word earnest. It's a beautiful thing, you know, that, you know, one thing, you know, to study the word of Yah, which is not bad, and it helps, you know, helps build you up, helps in understanding, helps you get things into your heart, studying, get you acquainted. But once you have studied and that, everything that you have studied, have you took time and sat back and meditated on all that you have received, all the light that you have received? You know, you receive the light, but do you do take time to really caress the light and to really look at it and to really see what it can do, what its function can do? It's more to us than just all the time receiving and storing up all this light and having all this light. But it's another thing for that which you have received to also give. Beautiful thing of discipleship again. But this earnest, it's Greek word 728. But we're not going to go into that definition. But we're going to go to a verse here. In 2 Corinthians, I think right here, book don't fall apart on me. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. This word earnest. I love this word earnest. You get time, take a look at that word earnest. It is a beautiful word. Second Corinthians 5:5, and it reads, "Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is Yah." What did he wrought us in? Now verse 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Why? "Being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought the selfsame thing as Yah, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." That earnest. That where that word earnest come to my mind is because it's partaker. It says those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were marked partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the word, good word of Yah and the powers of the world to come. Now, with that understanding, again, let us build upon that. Talking about Yeshua. Ephesians 1:13 tells us, "In whom ye also," there's a word there, trusted, trust Yah. Many of us are still fighting so much mistrust. And how you know you got mistrust is just deal with the suspicions that you fight. It's amazing. Amazing when you're out there in that world. That suspicion wasn't there. A lot of things to ponder on there. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, and some of you did, and some of us. Our former conversation did have this, and then we want to bring and correlate it into this walk, which should not be. But in whom you trusted, Yeshua HaMashiach, after that, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye what? Heard the word of truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. But you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the what? That word? The gospel of your salvation. What is salvation? What is, who is salvation? Did we not learn yesterday who was salvation? Who was the salvation of Yah? It was Yah in the flesh. But the way he took and the path he took, that, to the natural mind, to the carnal understanding, that does not look like a way of salvation. I mean, it looked like, the creator of all living, the creator of everything, was put upon a tree and openly, it seemed he was at his weakest point. Amazing in us, many of us fear weakness. We fear someone's going to get over on us. But this mind was not in Christ. But this mind should be in you that was in Christ's mind. How he endured great affliction. And we that are in this walk endure great afflictions. But we still, our focus is love. Now, I've been in this walk, like I said, over 20 years and been ministering a little over 20 years myself. And, and then coming into, the calling of a teacher, not no great thing. I tell you, I have suffered much loss. But I understand, that the loss that has been lost, I have gained Christ the more. That which was lost had no substance at all. When at the time in my possession, I thought it was substance. But the Most High Yah loved me enough to take it out of the way. What did he take out of the way to nail to the cross? The things that were contrary to us. If we peradventure would look at this expression of love. But our trust is going to be built upon you receiving the engrafted word in your heart. Receive ye Yeshua HaMashiach, for he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Yah, and the word was Yah. And we need to let these words of his life build the new worlds in our mind. We're living too many times in the old worlds. We're living in the worlds that are beneath. By our own surmisings and our own intellect and our own logic, we're withholding the hand of Yah. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and the end of our faith, the end of our faith, and you think it's your faith. We need to dispel that. And like Paul says in the faith, and the faith that I, Yeshua's faith. He summed it up. He said, he understands that I'm doing none of this. He exclaimed, you know, so eloquently, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my Yah. Trust in Yah. Quit trusting in death. Quit trusting in the world. Quit trusting in your feelings. Quit trusting in your emotions. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is eating at your hope? Christ in you is the hope of glory. At the entrance of the word is going to give you this light to this hope. You receive his hope, then you will see hope. You receive his life, then you will understand life. So trust in Yah. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that word again, which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the Hebrews, until the redemption of the purchased possession. He's coming to redeem you. Why? Unto the praise of his glory. And this we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Without you, we can do nothing. It's by you I live, I eat, I drink, and I have my being. Why? I am in the family of Yah. He is in me, and I in him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But again, those that fall away, those that have been enlightened, those that have tasted the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Spirit, they tasted the word of Yah and the powers of the world to come. Spirit tells us, and it speaketh expressly, that in the latter times, some shall depart from what? The faith. Depart. Are you? Do you want to be dearly departed? Dearly departed? Is it a dear departing from the faith? Shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines, teachings of devils. Thorns and briars. They'll depart from the faith, give heed to seducing spirits, as backbiting, bitterness, tail-bearing, whatever it may be. They are seducing. They'll seduce your emotions. They'll seduce your feelings. They'll go and peddle you like some two-bit whore. They'll jackleg you, hang you up by your ankles, shake every penny out of your being. They're there to seduce. You know, a harlot, you know, she only way that she can get, you know, get any money. She got, or get any sales or merchandise herself. She got to make herself look good. She got to put the merchandise out there that's well pleasing to the eye. Then she's got to speak with a certain words and certain voices to allure. But you know, she's only talking to the flesh. She's only appealing to the flesh. Put a hook in your jaw. Then they speak lies. They tell lies, you know, all of a sudden because they give heed to these seducing spirits. And they have these teachings of devils. Now their conversation, now their manner of death, and now their manner of being, they speak lies. Why? Because they're in hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. They were stage players. And because of these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils, their conscience gets seared like a hot iron. It's amazing when you sear something. I mean, it chars the outside. When you sear a piece of meat and you want to keep every bit of its flavor within, you sear, you make sure you cook the outside of that thing very quickly, char it very quickly. So everything that is trapped inside and nothing can get out. Their conscience are seared with a hard iron. They forbid to marry. They command to abstain from meats which Yah hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, 1 Timothy has talked very, very, very strong here about what the Spirit is speaking expressly. And we are in them latter times. A lot of people's latter ends is worse than their former, than their beginnings. Get in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It tells us, nevertheless, know this, the foundation, and we've talked about that, of Yah standeth sure. We've got to be made sure how we build upon that foundation. And we have this seal. You know, the Holy Spirit is our seal. The Master, the Savior, knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ, they depart from iniquity. Are you going to dearly depart from iniquity? They come to my mind again, this word earnest. Those of us have been given the earnest of the Spirit. Let me see if I can find it here. There we go. I've got a dictionary here, Expanded Vines. I thought this was very good on the word earnest. Again, you know, we're going back and forth between those, you know, that decide to go beneath, those of us who want to stay above. Now, those of us who have been given the earnest of the Spirit, listen at this definition. It's beautiful. Before we go on here, I didn't want to bypass this. I had it off to the side here. Earnest. Again, it's a Greek word, 728, arabon, means originally earnest money deposited by the purchaser. Earnest money deposited by the purchaser and forfeited if the purchase was not completed. Its general usage, it came to denote a pledge or earnest of any sort. And the Holy Spirit, it is the divine pledge of all our future blessedness. Those that depart from the faith forfeited. They forfeit the kingdom. They forfeit the powers of the world to come. They forfeit the word of Yah. They fall away. How can they come back to taste it again? when they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh in their own shame, in their own iniquity, in their own squalor? While they go out there for the little season foaming out their own shame? Most High knoweth those that are his. The Savior knoweth those that are his. It's depart. Greek word 868. Aphistemi. Aphistemi. Okay, there we go. It means to remove. That is actively instigate, to revoke. Usually to desist or desert, to draw, fall away, refrain, withdraw thyself. That's in, I think, Strong's and the Thayer's. Means to make stand off, cause to withdraw, to remove, to excite, to revolt, to stand off, to stand aloof, to go away, to depart from anyone, to desert, withdraw from one, to fall away, become faithless, to shun, flee from, to cease, to vex one, to withdraw oneself from, to fall away, to keep oneself from, absent oneself from. Later on in Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 26, it tells us this. For if we, talking to the Hebrews, sin willfully, notice that word, if we sin willfully, if we go ahead and commit to it willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But we'll be looking for this. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and of fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Says he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Then says, how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of Yah? And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the spirit of grace. For we, the Hebrews, know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Savior, the Master. And again, the Master, the Savior, shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yah. Getting this told us, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the strait gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And it says, and few there be that find it. And I looked at that and I said, few there be that find it. That means there someone has to be in motion to seeking before it, before they can find it. But if you're not seeking for it, how can you find it? Again in Hebrews 10, going on 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions. Since partly, while ye were made a gazing stock by both reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. He said, you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have where? In heaven, but not on this earth. Many people are protecting things on this earth, their life on this earth, and they should be claiming to their life, which is in glory, Where is Yeshua? He's in glory. He's high and lifted up. Our conversation isn't with him. Our life is hid with Christ in Yah. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Tell you, saints, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. For ye, we have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yah, you might receive the promise if Yah permit. It says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. In certain renditions, it says the just shall live by his faith. But it says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, the saints, the children of Yeshua, the Hebrews, are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of to them that believe to the saving of the soul. Saints of the Most High Yah, again, we have fellowshipped again. The book of Hebrews is this evening now. Bless you all and thank you all again for us coming together and breaking bread, talking of the mighty one, talking of the only one that really is all we need to talk about. Because he is our life. He is our strength. He is our substance. We are at this point in life because of him. That's why every day should be full of all glory and all honor and 1,000 hallelujahs and 1,000,000 glories and a gazillion thank you, thank you, thank you. Because we are not of them which fall back into perdition. We are not counted with the goats. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. We're come upon the season where we're going to look upon the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he's taken away the sin of the world out of us and washed us and cleansed us and made our robes white, made us partakers that we will not be ashamed at the time to take of the body and the blood. He in us, and we in him. Endure hardness as a good soldier, you Hebrew. You're a child of Yah. You're a child of the day. You're far above all principality, all power. You got to think like that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Bless you all, saints. Thank you, Brother Paul, Brother Ugly, posting scriptures. We're hoping part of the tech team here, hoping to have a cartoon out here soon. Me, Brother Mike in England, and Brother Steve over in Canada. Been working on this for quite a while, trying to get this together. This cartoon is going to be... from the last newsletter. Last newsletter was, I believe, on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. We're hoping, you know, that it will reach the children as well as the adults. This is a new platform, I guess. Something, you know, to bring more edification. Because, you know, we as the saints of the Most High and children of Yah, we do not want to resist the children coming unto Yeshua himself. So, you know, they are a part of this. They are our heritage. You know, once we are are departed from this world, they've got to carry the lamp. They've got to carry the light. They got to continue the beacon in this world as long as this world has time to last. Well, I bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. I pray the week be fruitful for you. I pray that you overcome. If you work harder, as unto the Most High Yah. Let the power of Yah persuade you and cause you to do things you thought you never could do. But he is the power in us, you know, to do above and beyond and abundantly, more than we may ask or think. So let us glorify him this week, even in our labors. Because we are his children. We are the Hebrews of Yah. Saints of the Most High Yah, the King is coming.